Hey there, it's Weed Week, the dangers and health benefits explored on Mix 94.5, where we're having these incredible chats to learn a little bit more about medicinal cannabis. Check it out via the Listener app.
Enjoy this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for elite pool covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
Just want to throw something out there before we pick up Jess.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She likes to sing generally when she says hello.
Yes.
But do you think we need to sort of sing to her to get her to get there? Or can we just do a straight up hello and just see what happens? Do you think she'll sing?
I think she'll just sing.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. You know what? She'll probably be singing when we pick up
the
line.
Yes, she will. Whatever the
you
song's
reckon?
Playing.
She'll dress. Already be singing to whatever.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, here we go.
She's the Aussie singer and actress who rose to fame on the fourth season of Australian Idol in 2006 and who has gone on to become one of Australia's most successful female artists. And she's just released Glow, her first single with her new label, Warner Music. Please welcome Jess Malboy.
Hi, Jess.
Oh,
good on you, Jess. True to form. You were singing.
We had a little thing where we were like, all right, will she sing hello? Or and then Kimber was like, I reckon she'll just be singing straight up as soon as we pick up. And there you are. Your new single is Glow, and it is out now.
Cool.
Jess, this song is a vibe, mate.
Let me go do this alone.
We love it.
It is a vibe. Thank you so much. I guess that was the whole idea, like just kind of putting the lyrics aside for a moment, like working with George Maple, I guess, you know, writing with her just lyrically was, yeah, it was really liberating to be able to just say exactly how I felt with no sense of judgment to how I felt about what I didn't want to say or what I wanted to say.
Well, the music still sounds, the song still sounds exactly like you, but it does have a slightly different vibe to what you've normally done. And we know you've changed record labels. You're no longer with Sony. You've moved to Warner. Mm-hmm. Has that influenced the new song in some way that you've maybe got a bit of freedom to try something?
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, I've been with the label for like 15 years and, you know, from 16, people forget that I've been in the industry for, you know, more than 15 years now. And from 16 to 30, I think when I did hit 30, I was like, whoa, like, you know, what is it about my life?
And people often think that when you say you've changed something or we're not working together anymore, that it has negative connotations. But actually, it doesn't have to.
Right,
you reach a point where you think, no, we need to now go different ways and different directions.
Yeah, well, I think I've grown. I think that's the kind of the messaging around Glow is that I have been just, you know, on a business level, on a personal level, but creatively as well, it's just kind of been such a wonderful time where I don't have a deadline. You know, I'm just writing things that, you know, come naturally and comfortably. And I feel like I'm going to be releasing stuff that way where it's not going to really have a date.
The film clip is a lot of you dancing. Like there's, and it's a cool film clip.
Myself.
Like it's shot beautifully. Like, you know, there's awesome colors through it. But when you're shooting something like that, is it uncomfortable? Is it awkward? Or do they just flick the music on and you just, for God knows how long, you just do it. You just dance.
Yeah, I was really lucky to be able to, you know, put together a team that I felt comfortable and had worked with in previous years. And, you know, it was nice to work with Rabal, who's a really dear friend of mine. You know, Rabal came to the table and he's like, look, I feel like no one's ever captured you just being yourself. I feel like you've always kind of been a character, and that's okay. But I want you to just, whatever feels natural and comfortable, you just play it. You're not playing a character. You're playing whoever Jessica Malboy is.
Yeah. Oh, no, very cool, mate. It's cool. The song is amazing. It's a really awesome new direction it sounds like you're going in, and looking forward to seeing more. The new single is Glow. Jess Malboy, great to catch up with you, mate.
Thank you, Mob. Thank you, Mob. Thank you for playing the song and, you know, wishing you, Mob, Merry Christmas if I don't hear from you or see you. So take care and be safe.
I know, you thought that news only happened in the big smoke. Well, let's cross to Michelle Anderson for news from the nether regions.
She's the darling of the regions and just, my God, how blessed we are.
darling of the region.
To be graced by her presence once a week on a Wednesday.
Yep. I drive around in a convertible ute with my hair flowing in the breeze. That's not true. That's
never
happened.
You don't drive yourself there. You have a driver.
Yes. Oh, my God, no. I've got to keep an eye on the crops and the happenings. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd be empty-handed if I was just concentrating on the roads, you know?
Yeah. What's going on?
We've talked about this before, but there's a massive worker shortage out there, especially in regional WA, because normally you're relying on your backpackers, people, you know, coming in and out of the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously not happening at the moment. So pubs and restaurants are in an absolute, the industry's worst labour crisis, I reckon, largely because of the border closures, as we said. So what they're doing, pivot, stay with me for a moment.
Okay.
How about the older workers? Let's bring them in. Now, my mum would jump at this.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't get your tea for a long time. She loves a chat. But I think it's a great idea, isn't it?
Yes.
Get the more mature workers in, the people that, and they find it so hard to get a job. Get them in. They're talking about doing a little bit of tax break action so they're not paying through notes. You can earn up to $480 a fortnight before their benefits get touched. I mean, this is all proposed. Yeah. It's not over the line.
It needs to be a pretty big incentive, though, because let's face it, when I hit 50, I don't want to be on my feet.
No.
I don't want to be on my feet all day.
I get that.
And 50.
Yeah.
50?
I'm not saying it's old. I'm just saying, do you want to work in a cafe 8 hours a day standing on your feet? You've got young 36-year-old legs, my friend.
Mm.
You haven't got a clue. You don't even know what's coming.
God. Yes, look. Yes. Well, you'd be all right.
I'd need a Zimmer frame so I didn't spill anything.
Maybe we work chairs into this as well.
Also worth noting, we are all sitting on chairs right now.
I know. I'd have it no other way.
Fair point.
Barely get through show. Yeah, but that's food for thought. So, and you know what they said too, with older people, you put them on the roster, they turn up.
I bet they
do. Very reliable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should be hiring older workers anyway.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That experience, as you say, the consistency.
Yep. So let's see what happens there. So, yeah, look out next time you're at a pub, see who serves you.
Yeah.
And then go, do you want a seat? That looks wearing. Like,
I have no idea.
In fact, you sit down. I'll bring you the food.
You know what? You look a bit peaked. I'm going to get you a cup of tea. Well, which brings me to another story. Albany Hotel is finally opened. After more than 2 years construction, the Hilton Hotel in Albany is open to guests tomorrow. How's that?
Oh, nice.
Ta-da. $24 million. Should look nice, I dare say.
And so it's a hotel.
It's a hotel. Well, it's a Hilton, so I don't know. Well, Paris just got married. She won't be there, I dare say.
No.
Imagine if Paris came to the opening Albany Hilton.
Yes.
I'd love that.
What next, Paris? Whaling Station? Anzac Memorial?
She can't go for breakfast anywhere, though. Can't get anyone to work.
No.
Nothing
except
around.
Nana.
But, you know, it's going to be great. It took a little while as well because Pindam was involved with the construction company and they went under. So it sort of delayed it a little bit. But I was also looking through Albany because I love Albany.
Mm.
It's moody. It's nice. It's, I don't know. It's got something about it.
Mm.
And, of course, I love Dog Rock. You've got to have seen Dog Rock, yeah?
It's been a while. I haven't been to Albany since, I think, year 7 camp when we made damper bread and they taught us about Ratus fuscopes.
What's that?
They're little animals.
As a woman of the nether regions, I hang my head. I should know.
Ratus fuscopes. You can look them up.
Are they on the legitimate menu at the Albany Hilton?
Lovely to see you, Mish.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Also, how's the rudeness of Google that while I'm typing in it just says, try using different spelling. Yeah, I am, mate.
Oh, you,
I don't know how to spell ratus fuscopes.
Not you, Google the idiot.
I was 11 when I learnt it.
Guys, last night, Parental Guidance. It's been quite a wonderful show to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, really enjoying it.
But, you know, as most reality TV these days, there had to be a winner.
Mm.
And this is what happened.
The parents with the best parental guidance are Penny and Daniel, our free rangers.
Well done. Free rangers.
Free ranging.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing? The parents who let their kids play with matches and don't make you do any chores turn out to be great parents.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
That's
God, they were lovely. I liked them. Yeah. Yeah.
They were
you
all
would
about
like them because they're free range, they let you do what you want.
And Maddie was raised free range pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of the idea of like they're going, you make your kids accountable for their own choices and their own behaviour. They're responsible adults.
Yeah. If you're going to drink that wine, you deal with the consequences. Don't take it to primary school.
Now, this is what they had to say about it.
Yeah, thrilled.
Speechless. It's a tough job.
Yeah. raising kids is one of those things that you never win. You're back tomorrow and things will go wrong and things will be back, you know. And
yeah, it's a continual journey, yeah, a continual learning experience, and we feel grateful that people have seen some value in our parenting and we're appreciative of that.
Now, parenting is a tough job, all right? But I'm going to throw something else out there. Being a kid's a tough job too.
Yes.
I don't want to hear from the parents about how their parenting is going, because we've had a few weeks of that.
We have.
But I want to hear from the kids.
What works for them?
About how your parenting's going.
Okay.
This is risky.
Yeah. We want to hear you critiquing how your parents are going being parents.
Oh, okay. I like it.
All right. And, you know, if you've got some ideas as a kid about how to be a great parent.
Meh.
No idea is a bad idea.
No, just tell us what you think parents should be doing.
Exactly.
And we'll just pass on the word, really.
We've already got calls coming through. Now, are we speaking to Crystal, the mum, or are we speaking to Jake, the son?
Son.
Oh, hi, Jake. Hi, Jake. How old are you, Jake?
I'm 10.
Oh, cool. All right.
What do you got to say about your mum's parenting?
My mum gets me off my games and lets me play outside.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a positive thing. Do you enjoy that? Do you like playing outside?
Yeah, because I go out with my mum and my dad and play volleyball with them.
Ooh, awesome.
All right. Okay. But would you rather be inside playing games, or are you happy that they get you outside?
I'm happy that they get me outside.
Oh, okay. What are some of the rules at home, Jake, that you wish didn't exist? Are mum and dad too tough on you for some things?
No chores.
No yeah. chores. Oh. Yeah, that's a very good one.
It's a tough one when you got to do those.
Oh, yeah. Doing
you know, dishes. My parents never made us really do chores, and I feel awful about it as an adult. I feel like we did nothing to help my poor mum.
That's how I feel at the moment.
I think mum did everything, and I never helped her.
I look at my stepdaughter and go, get in here.
Yeah, but you do need someone to tell you, because I was never going to offer.
Mm. We got heaps of calls coming through. We'll take another one here. We got Libby and Georgia. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. How old are you two?
Libby is 10 and I am 8.
Okay. And what do you think of your parents' parenting? What's mum like as a parent?
Well, mum's a bit strict sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Lighten up, mum.
What do you mean? What does she do?
Well, we have to do jobs to earn our iPad time, and we only get it for like an hour. Then my mum makes us play outside or in our playroom.
Oh.
There's a theme here, isn't there?
Yeah, everyone's like, get outside.
Olivia in Queen's Park, hello.
Hi.
6-year-old Olivia, how are your parents doing? Do you think they're doing a good job of raising you?
Yes.
Yeah, what are your favourite things about what your parents do?
They help me pack away when my sister makes a big mess.
They help you what?
They help me pack away when my sister makes a very big mess at my house.
Oh, yes. And Olivia, do they do anything that you don't like? Do they make you eat things you don't like?
Yes.
Like what?
Like avocado.
Oh, how dare they.
Oh, goodness.
What about Olivia. Broccoli?
I like broccoli.
Good girl.
Good stuff,
broccoli's
Olivia.
Broccoli's my favourite.
All right. Lachlan and Yanchip, good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, morning.
Lachlan, how have your parents done? You're an older young man, so how have they done raising you, okay?
Yeah, I reckon they've done all right. They've been quite relaxed but also strict. Just as long as I tell them where I'm going and what time I'm back, they're usually pretty good.
Yeah, come on, Lachlan, a bit of dirt, buddy. Where are they going wrong?
I mean, they can nag a bit, especially during HR at the moment. I get nagged quite a lot about my work.
Oh, okay. But can you be trusted? Have they sort of set you up to be an adult and work on your own unsupervised?
Yeah, I do spend quite a lot of time by myself, especially at my school. We're allowed to go in and sort of study in our own time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they're quite good. They let me go in and hang with my friends for a little bit.
Okay.
And then come back, just as long as I get it done.
Right. Are you going to your driver's test at the moment, Lachlan?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Good luck.
Good luck, bud.
Oh, thanks. It's in a couple of hours, but I've got a little driving lesson beforehand.
Yeah, with a little warm-up.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Lachlan just sounds like a good kid.
What a good kid.
He sounds like a good kid. Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hi.
How
9-year-old Anthony.
I'm 9.
Yep.
How are your parents going?
They're going really well.
Yeah. Oh, really? Like what?
Yep.
What's good?
A lot of things.
Are they pretty relaxed or are they strict?
They're pretty relaxed, did you say?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep, and so have you got many rules in your house, Anthony?
Yeah, we have quite a bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're pretty good? You behave yourself?
Yep.
Okay, Anthony. Yeah, Anthony. All right. I have rules in my household with my kids, Anthony. What are the rules in your household?
We have a special rule about toilet paper that it has to go...
That it has to go what? It has to go face away from the wall?
It has to go, like, opposite facing the wall.
Right, okay. Yeah, so over, not under.
Yeah, Anthony's parents own the Pan Pacific.
Right, okay.
It's a great rule.
We got one more here. Hi, Trinity.
Hi.
Trinity, how many kids are there in your family?
Nine.
Nine? Wow. Yeah. Okay. And so how do you think your parents are doing? Because they must be very busy.
Yeah, they're doing amazing. Basically, so they make sure we spend that. Sorry.
It's all right. You take your time, mate.
They make sure we spend the right amount of time inside and the right amount of time outside. And then make sure, because I'm one of nine, that basically we help each other getting out the door and everything and just help each other in general.
Yeah, I bet mornings are busy at your place, Trinity.
They are.
Yeah.
Of the nine kids of your sisters and brothers, Trinity, where are you? What number are you?
I'm number five.
Number five, right in the middle. All right. Okay.
You have a good day, mate.
Thank you.
There you go.
I will.
One of nine kids.
What a bunch of sweethearts.
Oh, and can we not do anything else except take calls from kids for the rest of the day?
Now, Pete, there's a place in Perth that you and I probably frequent and feel more comfortable than, say, Matt would. I think Matt goes in there, maybe doesn't spend as much time as what we do at Bunnings.
Now that's real, real, real. Gun in my purse, bitch, I came dressed to kill. Who wanna go first? I had a dun 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 dun.
I just want an excuse to play that remix again. love me a bit of Bunnings. And at one point was frequenting Bunnings so much that I made a friend there, Mel. I used to work at the Morley Bunnings. I'd been in there so many times that Mel was like, g'day, I recognise you. And we just became buddies because I was going there too often. And then the Morley one shut down and I'm a bit out of my depth because that was the one I knew.
Yeah, I knew that one.
You know when you your store?
Yeah.
And so now I'm going to Bayswater and that thing's big.
Yeah.
It's big and it's really spread out and I'm not familiar. And I needed to pick up some items and I was in the back gardening section and I needed to get a bunch of mulch and stuff. But there's a lot of stock that was missing. There was a lot going on and I don't know what I'm doing because I'm buying all this mulch for the first time, right? Like I'm setting up a veggie garden. I'll tell you about it later, but it's like I don't know what I'm doing. So I had in my head, I'd done a bit of Google searching and I was like, you have to get this mulch, this compost, this, that and the other. And when I got there, they didn't have the things that I needed.
But it's Bunnings.
Yeah,
Bunnings always has the things that it's needed.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
It wasn't there. And so then I was, you know what I mean? Because then suddenly, it's like if you send me to the shops and you tell me what cut of meat you need, and I get there, if it's not exactly named that, I'm stuffed.
Sure.
I don't know what to get you after that because I'm just out of my depth. And so what it became was kind of like the Gruen transfer where my eyes just sort of glazed over and I started wandering up and down the aisles. Not achieving anything, you know, like I'm flipping bags over and I'm reading the backs and like walking around and I was like, I wonder what's out here and walked out this like roller door bit into what I thought was a trade yard and then went, I don't think I'm allowed out here. You know, when you can't tell.
Did you ask anyone? I mean, we're talking about Bunnings staff here. These are the savants of the industry. I was there over the week. I kid you not. I was at a Bunnings over the week. Yeah, of course I was.
Of course you were.
And I was looking for... just some little electrical pieces that I needed for the Christmas lights that I'm putting up.
Yes.
I was on the other side of the warehouse in the trade section. And I said, hey, I'm looking for these. And he goes, aisle 44, halfway up on the left. I kid you not, it was aisle 44, halfway up on the left. It was incredible.
I mean, that's great. But I mean, when I finally found, because eventually I was like, oh, this is getting stupid. I've been here so long. And I eventually found someone and he told me what to get. And by the time I'd walked back to the section, I'd already sort of forgotten what he'd said. But it occurred to me that if you had watched it back on security camera, I was just hovering for such a long time in between these three aisles, achieving nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't even, I did put things on the trolley by the end of it, but it just looked so suspicious. Everything about me was just hovering around, and I thought, maybe it's not so bad because in Bunnings probably everybody looks like that, right? Like, well, everyone's
I definitely look like that when I'm at Bunnings, but get me in a cloud nine, bang. I know exactly where I'm going.
Hi there, mateys.
Mix 94.5's Masters Regatta.
That's right, guys. A week and a half to go.
Yep.
Until we sail the high seas of Hillary's.
That sounds awful when you say it like that. Really? I'm only nervous because we don't have a boat. That's all.
Mate, we'll get there. I'm telling you.
And let's face it, whatever happens with our boat, this is bringing back a Perth institution. So we're going to have fun no matter what, although we three may not survive it.
Now, we also have a number of teams that signed on last year when we originally announced this, and they've been waiting for it to come back. One of those teams is called Men on Pause, and Mel Crosby, I'm going to call you the captain.
Absolutely.
Mel, Skipper.
Good morning to you, Skip.
Good morning.
Mel, apparently as soon as you heard the regatta was coming back, you raced into work and said, we're getting a team, it's happening. So how many have you got now?
We've got, as in the team?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's six of us, and I did run in, like, said I have a large inner child, and as soon as I heard Pete mentioned it, raced in and was like, St. Jerome's, we're building a boat.
Amazing. Like,
calm down, Mel.
Okay, and now you were sort of nearly ready for last year, but you gathered some cartons. So where have they had these cartons stored at Fort Knox storage, or where have they been?
Luckily, I live on a bit of a property and we've got a shed, but I panicked because I thought shed, mice, cardboard, this is going to be bad. So I made my husband hang them from the rafters in the shed, and that's where they've been hanging in grain bags since then.
Wow.
That is brilliant, Mel. Okay. Now, you watched the regatta as a child, right? I mean, did you ever have a chance to compete way back when?
No, I always wanted to. I used to see it on the news, and we lived up near Hillary's, and I'd always watch it and say, Mum, get cartons. We need to build a boat. And she'd be like, no, no, there's no boat.
I'm so excited. This is like all your dreams are coming true.
It is. My larger inner child will be out in full force next week.
Okay, so six of you on the boat, all of you on there together. So you must be building quite a boat.
Well, it's obviously we've got that one sheet of ply that we're allowed to use, but it was working out how many cartons we were going to need to actually hold the weight of all of us, which has been the challenge.
And we were talking before, just off air, about the weight to carton ratio, which is an algorithm that I've not seen, Pete, but do you know what it is?
Yeah, before COVID, we worked that out, and then because we used all of our kids at school to help us collect all the cartons, the year sixes actually looked into it and researched it, and it's actually 2 cartons per kilo of body weight.
Oh. 2 cartons.
We are miles away, Pete.
Hang on a second.
We're miles away.
I'm going to
need
to start smoking again.
Needless to say,
you're going to lose some weight.
Get on the cartons, mate. You've got a week and a half.
2 cartons per kilo.
Yeah, so the year six has told us that we needed a lot of cartons.
Hang on. For me, that's only 214 cartons.
What are we going to do?
So between the three of us, what's that? That's like 400 or 500 cartons.
Yeah, 500, about 500.
About 500.
Don't forget
cartons.
The weight of the board as well.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, I thought ahead about that. So I've got a very thin board because obviously we're riding a sausage mill. So,
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get to work today. So,
but also, this is what we want. It's Mel's enthusiasm of how good was the Masters Regatta growing up. That's what we're recreating. Mm-hmm. We're just saying, come down, get on the carnival rides. They're free.
Mm-hmm.
We got stuff going down because we just want to make a big day of it. And when was the last time you got to go out and celebrate something like that in Perth?
Absolutely. Exactly. Now, you don't have to give away too much, Mel, but can you tell us something about your boat design? Is it very straightforward or is it a little bit more creative?
Does it have a winged keel?
Not a winged keel. No. We're trying to sort of go for the catamaran or trimaran sort of idea.
Okay.
That's sort of looking the way that it's heading at the moment. And we did have a big idea for a nice shape. We got all enthusiastic. I know you guys are doing the salsicha, but ours, once we realised that it was more in-depth and more difficult than what we actually thought it was going to be, our shape sort of creativity has just gone, and we'll be just sort of going with average boat sort of look, I think.
Right. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, I mean, everybody goes, oh, sausage sounds very creative, but essentially it's just a long tube.
It is a tube.
It's just a noodle, quite simple. Noodle. Yes, it is.
And if you had the choice, you'd choose seaworthy over the look of the sausage.
Some people would. Well,
well, we can't wait, Mel. Thanks so much. We're so glad you signed on.
Oh, that's all right. It'll be a great day. I can't wait. And I've got, am I allowed to thank all the kids at my school?
Of course. Sure. Sounds like they've done all, and they told us the ratio of the milk cartons. We owe them too.
Depends if you're going to name all 800 of them.
No,
by
name them all, but the whole school community at St. Jerome's has been behind this, all the parents, because lots of them obviously remembered it as well. There are, and I can tell you, there are some trooper dads at our school that ploughed through Masters to send the cartons in so that we could build our boat. So to all the kids, all the families at St. Jerome's, you guys are awesome, and the team thanks you.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful, mate. Beautiful. We hope we see you all there on the day.
Yes, men on pause. And yeah, exactly, Kimber, all of you who just got that shout out, I mean, that's the bare minimum expectation. You've got to be there at the beach at Hillary's, at the boat harbour, ready to cheer on men on pause, all right? Mel, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, thank you.
See you next Saturday.
Yeah, sure.
I had a reminder, actually, the other day of my smoking days. Because, you know, when you smoke these days, there's not a lot of places in the world that you're that popular. You know, often you'll light up and you're either getting looks that are not very complimentary, or you're sort of squeezed into some alcove of a building in the freezing wind trying to suck one back.
Signs that say you can be 35 metres from the front door if you want to smoke.
But, I mean, worst of all, and fair enough in public, is, you know, when I used to light up in my own backyard, you know, I'd take a cup of tea, get me durry out there, light it up, and within one puff you start to hear the windows of the neighbours slamming.
Ah, yep.
And, you know, I get it. We live cheek by jowl with our neighbours. They are so close. We've got a courtyard. It's not a backyard. My neighbours, I can almost touch them. So I get that smoking, you know, it annoys people. It's stinky. I get it.
Yeah. And then they feel bad too because they're like, well, I can't tell him off. He's in his own backyard.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a bit rubbish.
But, hey, I don't smoke anymore, right? So I thought the days of pissing my neighbours off were over. turns out that I'm very wrong there.
Oh.
And as you guys know, I get told sometimes that some of my references are a little bit old.
Right? Well, sometimes. Yeah, you know, you're a little bit older than us.
You know, if I say, hey, let's use something from the Brady Bunch or something, you know. That... And so when I play this song for you, I'm well aware that there will be many people who don't know who Engelbert Humperdinck is. But have a listen to this.
Every day I wake up and I start to break up, lonely as a man without love.
Right, great song.
Right. Yep.
Now, I know this song because my parents played. I know the words to all of those sort of Shirley Bassey, da-da-da. You won't even know some of you who they are, Perry Como.
Engelbert was a big deal.
Big deal, right?
Big deal.
Love that song.
I don't know why. It's a great song.
It is a great song.
Yeah. Now, I don't know why, but it sort of happens to me sometimes. Usually it's advertising jingles. But there I was at the sink. It must have been about 5:30 in the morning, maybe. Because I'd gotten up early for basketball.
Oh.
And I was at the sink making a cup of tea, and I just, for whatever reason, it came into me, and I'm making the coffee going, every day I wake up and I start to make up, lonely as a man without love. And I hear the window start.
The neighbours, bam, 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 bam.
And, you know, and I realised that for years I've been trying to get rid of the things that I assumed were annoying about me. Yeah, drinking, smoking, all that. But it turns out that I'm the problem. Pete, Matt and Kimber. Now, in this life, I guess there are times that we all feel like, hey, I just need someone to rescue me. So when you near me, darling, can't you hear me? SOS. Oh, yes. And this has happened, of course, to the Zavros family. This is the family, Orios, his wife Lindsay, their kids Zoe and Zane, who were having the trip of a lifetime. Across our great interior, got stuck in the Simpson Desert there in South Australia by, you know, flash massive floods and were stuck in the middle and probably going to be stuck there for 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
And then it became clear that there was going to be a very dangerously hot heat wave, and they've indeed been choppered out. So they're safe now. I think they're in Coober Pedy.
Thank goodness they had that emergency beacon too, to be like, come and get us, please.
And they were getting drop supplies, including teddy bears. Isn't that cute?
Aww. That's sweet.
But it made me think about some of those great rescues, certainly in my time. I don't know if you remember the Tony Bullimore, who was the solo sailor whose boat capsized. And it was like 4,000 right deep in the Southern Ocean.
Those people blow my mind.
Oh.
Solo. Because you always look at them, and they're always in like a tiny boat.
It's like
if I was going to sail solo around the world, I know, you know, they're doing their thing and they're chasing a record.
But you want to do it in a 75-foot cruiser with.
At least. Yeah. I want one of those shipping containers you see at Fremantle.
Or perhaps something that's been stuck together with Master's Milk containers or cartons. Yeah. But, you know, imagine
this is ironic, isn't it?
That feeling of being upside down in the hull of your boat, which is what he was, you couldn't get more in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden someone's like knocking on the hull and it's the Australian Navy and you've saved.
Oh, God.
I can't even, you know, I've told you before, Maddie, I went hiking with my friends, Pete, in like the city of Kalamunda, and we got lost while we were hiking and it was a really hot day. We ran out of water and it got to the point where I was saying to the girls, no, we need to be rescued. Like a dead set, I'm going to call someone, because we found one spot with a tiny bit of phone reception at the top of the hill. And I was like, if I get up there, I think we can call for help. And I had this brilliant plan. I was like, if we stay under the power poles, because, you know, those big giant things, I was like, these are all registered with an individual number. So I was like, if we all wait under one of those, we can call and get help, tell them where they are and they'll come and get us. And my friends were so mortified by the idea that we were getting rescued. They were like, we are not being rescued out of here. This is humiliating, and continued to push on until we found a way out, because they would not handle someone coming to get them.
Well, to be fair, they were just at that roundabout with the gum nuts. So it wasn't that dangerous, but I take your point, Kimber.
It's Kalamunda.
I was like, I was ready to be rescued. I was like, come and get me. I'm happy to not find my way out of here.
Yes, I think we're under a water slide. I want to hear about your great rescue stories.
Rescue story. Have you been rescued?
Have you been rescued?
Let's go to the phones.
G'day, Sam in Double View. When did you get rescued?
Oh, it was around about Christmas time. Oh, beginning of this year, actually, I think it was.
Yeah.
So we were at Scarborough Beach and my son was doing nippers, and my husband normally goes in the water and has a swim. I'm normally a stay on the beach kind of person.
Yes.
And he convinced me to go in because it looked pretty calm. It's normally pretty rough there, but it looked pretty calm. And so I was like, all right, I'll go in. About 5 minutes being in the water, a rip appeared from nowhere, absolutely just took me under.
Oh.
So he tried to get me out. He tried to, you know, do the whole stay calm, just go with the water. And I'm like, no, I need to get out. And so basically I just put my hand up and the lifeguard came out on the jet ski and rescued me and two of the boys that were stuck in it as well.
Oh.
Pulled us back. It was pretty scary.
It's so frightening, isn't it? Yeah.
Sam. I was terrified. Yeah, my husband managed to get out of it. He did what he was supposed to do, and he got out of it and got to the beach. And then they pulled us up onto the. It was so embarrassing. The two boys that got rescued got on the board at the back of their jet ski, and I had to climb up onto the actual jet ski with the lifeguard. Then they pulled us up onto the beach. I stepped off, and then a wave took the jet ski and ran over my leg.
Oh, Sam!
Whoa!
Yeah, so that was that hurt a bit.
Sam, where are you from? Where's your accent from?
I'm actually from Huddersfield in West Yorkshire, from the UK.
Huddersfield, I love it.
It's just so funny hearing your accent, because this feels like an episode of Bondi Rescue. It's always a tourist.
And I would just like to point out, Sam, that what would have made that I mean, we're so glad that you're all right and sorry that you know, had that happen to you, but what would have been better is if all, like, 10,000 of those nippers came to save you.
Oh, my gosh, that was the most embarrassing part, is that my son was actually doing surf lifesaving and all the little kids were fine in the water and I got taken over.
To hear Pete, Matt and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an Elite pool cover. 94.5.